The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, hanging out on this Friday edition. One more hour to go. We got the cuts at the end of the show. Nick Schaefer hanging out with us here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, presented by Empower Payments, KSHB 41 Sports Director, Mick Schaefer. Mick, what do you guys got going on tomorrow for Messi coming into town? Are you going to fan it? Are you going to be there media?
Crap, I forgot to schedule somebody.
Are you guys, so you guys aren't covering it? That's fine. No big deal.
McKenzie and Aaron will both be there from our staff. We'll have a reporter and another photographer there from the news side. And might even have more people out there in the parking lot. It's so cool. I knew it was a big thing, but it's even a bigger thing. I realized yesterday, went out to sporting availability, and Peter Vermees is so funny. Just love talking to him always, but he comes down there, there's this huge media contingent. He sits down, he's like, well, what's going on, guys? And then he gets done, he's like, all right, thanks, guys. Hey, see all of you next week, right?
That's
pretty good.
Are you heading out there tomorrow, Sterling? Dylan, you heading out there tomorrow? Fanning it? Anybody? Not going?
Are you
going? I'm not. No, I would like to go, like, but it's like, you know, the price to get in
is about
just
the price
sort
of Apple Plus,
right?
Plus.
But just to be there, like my son, like, you know, he knows Messi, but to the point of like, oh my, we got to be there. Like, it's just not what's been our family. I understand where everybody's like, we have to be there, no matter what. Whatever it's going to take. So I totally get that as to why it's at Arrowhead, but the price of being there versus the experience of how high up we would be to watch that particular match. Not worth it for us.
I've learned, like, it's a poor man's version of, like, a Taylor Swift concert, to where, like, people are going to be flying in from all over the country, from other countries for this, just because they found one spot where he's going to be, a la Taylor Swift concert, because it's a similar phenomenon. You just want to see him play. It's so funny in this, like, it's soccer, so there's a really good chance he's not going to score a goal, but you want to say, hey, I was able to see him play, and now that he's in the States, we have that opportunity a lot easier than before.
And knock on wood that he does start and play tomorrow.
Hopefully no load management.
Yeah.
Well, he's here at least. We saw him get off the bus.
You did?
Well, I saw a tweet of him getting off the bus.
I thought maybe you specifically were there, you know, like they were tracking the plane of Scott Drew
the
other day.
I didn't know, because I was like, they got here last night, and I was texting with some of the sporting guys. I'm like, they usually get here the day before? It's like, no, it's rare, or 2 days before. Normally it's the day before, but he thinks they probably flew directly from Monterey.
I stayed
the night Monterey came in.
Makes sense.
That makes sense because Leagues Cup game, I believe they're playing there.
That's right, midweek game. Hanging out with Mick Schaefer. Mick, Dan Hurley stayed at UConn. Mm-hmm. Billy Donovan, apparently, he may have been contacted, may not, but he's still with the Bulls. Scott Drew is staying at Baylor. Nate Oates is staying at Alabama.
Everybody in the world but one person is staying where they are, is not going to Kentucky.
That's exactly right. You know, I was thinking about this last night as, you know, Louisville also reached out to Scott Drew, and he said no. And they reached out to a few others, and they said no.
He just hates Kentucky.
And then that might be right. And then they ended up with Pat Kelsey from
The New Heights podcast.
Yes, that's right.
Cleveland Heights, Ohio.
Not Charlotte. But anyway, one of the mid-major schools. And Kentucky struck out a number of times. And they get Mark Pope, who is, you know, a former player, won a championship there. And to me, I think there's a pretty good lesson to take away from what we're watching in college basketball. And that is, just because you fire your guy and you've got the name brand, and it could be something for Kansas, like if Bill Self walks away in 5 or 6 years, it doesn't mean that it's like, well, who's the obvious next guy? There might be an obvious next guy, but that obvious next guy might be like, no, I'm good. Okay, well, then who's the second obvious? I don't know. Well, who's the third obvious? Because you run the risk of ending up where Kentucky fans are, which is wanting to burn the place down because they got Mark Pope.
They were wanting to burn the place down before, even when Cal was there, after the season.
They wanted to burn it down with Cal in attendance.
All pyros. They all have a lit match at all times.
That's right. But it's sort of like, you know, it's beware what you wish for, because it's anybody but him. right? He's got to go. Let's get him out of there. Let's fire him. Let's pay the $33 million if that's what it takes, because anybody but him, it's time for a fresh voice. And then anybody but him turned out to not be Dan Hurley.
Basically.
And then it's like, well, this is dumb. What do we even do? One Scott Drew? Yeah. What are we doing here? Like, Mark Pope? That's what you end up with? Mark Pope? The guy's got zero tournament wins. Like, well, Cal kind of has that in the last a few years. Well, and he was at BYU that did that. How uninspiring. I mean, can he even get NBA players? Didn't you complain about only NBA players not ever actually able to win? I mean, what's the guy going to be able to do? Oh, he can coach some X's and O's. Don't you want to coach that can coach some X's and O's? I thought you complained about that for a long time. It was anybody but Calipari as long as it's Dan Hurley. Yeah. Is ended up what it ended up being. And I think we're learning, like, the landscape of college basketball. You're not just going to money whip somebody and give them a check and go, come here. Because Scott Drew's pretty comfortable down in Waco, and he's getting a lot of money to be there. And his family flew to Lexington and said no thank you.
Really?
And his family was like, that's part of the reporting, is that his family and his wife and were like, you know what? No, we're comfortable in Waco, and we don't want to be the ones in the fishbowl too.
Yeah.
We don't want our family being talked about, because Calipari's daughter's on Twitter going at fans and back and forth and things like that. And the Drew family's like, no, we're good. We're good in Waco.
All of this makes 100% of sense to me. I mean, it all makes sense to me, because this look, on one hand, there's so much money in college athletics. You can have a great living, make millions of dollars in a Waco, in a Provo, in all these outposts all over the country. And if you love your quality of life, you don't need to leave. You can make more money, and you can hold your school hostage for more money and all of that. And then on the other side, it's the Kentucky fandom, to where, like, okay, do I really need this? I mean, I'm going to have stellar seasons every year, right? I have to win the SEC basically every year and make a run to the Final Four pretty close every year. Otherwise, I'm on the hot seat. Why would I want to put up for that for maybe a couple million more? But I'm already making this. So all of this makes a lot of sense to me. And we touched on it the other day with NIL, and just we're seeing these players, I think, and we're still kind of in the infancy of it, and maybe it'll change, but we're seeing these players spread out over the country more, to where, like, the old, you know, axiom of, like, no, we just can't get somebody in Manhattan. No, I think these guys, they don't mind, right? If they're from Florida, they'll come to Manhattan and play.
Well, who's
if
the,
it means money and a starting spot and, you know, all that stuff, and they like the coach, they'll go kind of anywhere. It's not like Lexington is New York City.
Ballo from Arizona, that's the big man. He's got a scheduled visit with Jerome Tang in Kansas State. I mean, Bruce Weber's like, I'm not sure how he's doing that. Nobody I knew even knew where Manhattan was. We had to meet him in New York.
Of the Atlantic.
We had to meet him in New York for them to even think it was Manhattan. But, I mean, Jerome Tang's getting him to Kansas State, and the guy, you know, can get some guys in the transfer portal, and, you know, that's going to be a really coveted guy. Doesn't mean that K-State's going to get him. They almost got Max Asemus, but he chose Texas. Being the bridesmaid is the same as not even really getting acknowledged at times, because you still don't end up with that player.
How do you think Mark Pope feels? He was a captain on the 1996 national championship team. I'm going back to my alma mater. I can't wait. This is my dream job.
And everybody's pissed.
Let's fire up the chat board. let's fire up Twitter. Let's see what people are thinking about me.
Right? You're kind of starting with one foot in the grave, unless you're Dan Hurley, right? Even Scott Drew would have got there to a less than warm reception, right? And so you're starting kind of behind the eight ball. That's what I'm saying. Even him, they have no momentum going into this job. Like, and I think all these guys realize that.
It's like Mark Pope, he can't win a tournament game. He hasn't won a tournament game. This is absurd. You didn't want Scott Drew. Scott Drew won a national championship. Yeah, but outside of that one run, what has he done? Well, he's been to a couple of Elite Eights. Yeah. But again, you're talking, he's been there 20 years. He's got one national title. Okay, well, he's not interested. Good, don't want him. Mark Pope. Yeah, but he doesn't do anything in the tournament. Hold on. What do you actually want? Like, the message boards were going crazy. Like, I saw the message board's Twitter account that tweets out a lot of different crazy fans, some of them that came through. I feel literally sick. It's over, man. The program we once loved will soon be irrelevant. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this. Nope, can't be. This is absurd. I'm sick. I'm out. Don't care that he played at UK with that awesome 0-2 record in the tournament as a coach.
Oh, my God.
Barnhart really did this? I can't stop shaking uncontrollably. I'm kind of worried. I'm not believing it. Not believing it. Nope, this isn't true. Hey, how do you turn into Indiana? Bleep like this. I don't even want to show my face at work tomorrow.
Oh, my God. What year do you think these guys graduated from Kentucky?
They didn't.
No, they did not graduate from Kentucky.
They're also Alabama football fans by chance?
As fans, we have to revolt against this. We cannot allow this to happen to our basketball program. Fire Mitch Barnhart immediately and don't let Pope get off the plane. We really are a football school now. Wow. Mitch Barnhart needs to be taken to pasture. Mitch Barnhart should be fired. This is ridiculous. I will not renew season tickets. Okay, what the bleep is going on? Shoot me now. Bleep this. Those are all different, just regular posts. Barnhart needs to be fired. We have become a joke in college basketball.
Yeah.
This is laughably horrendous. Line. Kentucky basketball is no longer a threat. Fire Mitch if this is true. This is an insanely bad hire. The worst. I don't say this lightly, but boop, Mitch Barnhart. He's an absolute joke. Holy bleep, Mitch and our boosters or anyone else involved sucks so much. Boop, absolute joke.
I'm trying to find the sad fans music. Dude, and I just can't do it. See,
I was thinking about this being a sad fan, but I didn't want to put that much time into it. That's a lot.
Up for this.
This makes me want to cheer for Mark Pope, but at the same time, these same people will turn around and just love it, right?
Like, absolutely, just erase
those. In the meantime, they're going to have to pay attention to their other favorite teams, the Lakers and the Yankees and the Patriots.
That's exactly right, yes. And it's like, because the landscape of the SEC has also changed, and this is something that I looked up last night, because people are talking about Billy Donovan. Why didn't you go get Billy Donovan? Billy Donovan was awesome. He won two national titles. He went to two other Final Fours without that group that he won a national title with. His second to last year in college, he went to a Final Four. And he had a run of, you know, four straight SEC regular seasons that he won before he went off to the NBA. So I went and looked. So we hear about, you know, the SEC's investing more money. Mm-hmm. They're paying coaches more money. They're putting more into their facilities. They're actually trying to take basketball seriously again. And you know, it's working.
Final Four team this year.
Here are the coaches in the SEC in that run where Billy Donovan last coached in the SEC. Here are the coaches.
So
the coaches that were currently coaches in the SEC when Billy Donovan left for the NBA.
When he left.
These were the coaches in the SEC that he was going up against and winning the conference.
Oh, I bet. My prediction, it's a who's who.
Mark Fox, Konzo Martin at Tennessee, Mike Anderson at Arkansas, Johnny Jones at LSU, Frank Haith at Mizzou, Andy Kennedy, Ole Miss, Billy Kennedy, A&M, Anthony Grant at Bama, Kevin Stallings at Vandy, Tony Barbee at Auburn, Frank Martin at South Carolina, Rick Ray at Mississippi State.
I've heard of all those guys except for Rick Ray. Wasn't Rick Ross?
No, it was Rick Ray. Those were your coaches the time when he was winning the SEC title. Like, it's a little different now when you're throwing Rick Barnes in there and Chris Beard and Nate Oates and Buzz Williams and Bruce Pearl and things like that. Like, those are your coaches now. And Billy Donovan would be coming back to then Arkansas having John Calipari as well. Like, the SEC's investing money, even Dennis Gates over Frank Haith. I mean, although Frank Haith didn't lose every single SEC game, but whatever. I've got more faith in Gates than Haith. But, like, it's a different SEC now. It's a different animal that people are walking into. So it's like, well, you got to go get Billy Donovan. Okay, I think Billy Donovan can coach, but he didn't want to coach and recruit in the landscape in 2014. Why is he just going to show up and be like, hell yeah, let's do NIL, let's re-recruit every year, now I can pay for all these players, and now the SEC is a beast. It's much more difficult now than it ever was when I coached in it.
Why would he? You're sitting there in the NBA. You don't have to. You let the guys do what they want, basically. I mean, I think there is some coaching in the NBA, obviously, but you're not recruiting. That's not your gig at all. It's way easier. Why?
Yeah.
Why? There's no reason for him to say, you know what? Let's backtrack. Let's make my life harder.
I'm guessing, and I'm sure we can find it, that the shelf life of a coach outside of Greg Popovich in the NBA is shorter than the shelf life of a coach even in men's college
especially
basketball.
If you win Coach of the Year in the NBA, typically a couple of years later, you're
getting
fired.
It's
a death knell as to win Coach of the Year in the NBA. But it's also why Billy Donovan's on a different spot, you know? And, but I mean, also like college basketball, it's kind of a 5-year run. Like, you know, Mark Pope, is he going to be there past 5 years? I'm going to say no. I'll take the field, and the odds say no. You know, it's like, do you take UConn or the field? Well, I mean, it's a little different now, because if they ran back the tournament and you asked me the same thing, I would take UConn. But typically...
Same for South Carolina. There was that bet. It was pretty even.
Right. And so typically... Right, exactly.
I would have taken the field.
Yeah. And if you run back the women's tournament again and it's South Carolina or the field, I'll take South Carolina. Because I feel like the two dominant teams in their tournament ended up winning. And I'm not sure who beats either of those teams in the tournament.
There's dominant teams every year, right? There's a clear cut a lot of times.
Yeah.
A lot.
But it
and
just
they feel, rarely
yeah.
win.
I would still take the field based on the numbers, but that sort of feels like...
Based on 12 straight double-digit wins.
Right. The numbers, yeah. But it's like, is Mark Pope going to be there? He's not even going to be there 5 or 6 years. Yeah, because odds are that he's not. Because he's probably going to get fired, you know, because that's college basketball, especially when he's already got one foot in the grave. That was a great way of describing it. Like, he shows up and people are like, this guy sucks. Like, if you're not in the second week in year one or competing for a Final Four, if you have an early exit, well, now let's fire that. Told you. That's exactly what we said was going to happen. Like, college basketball is so much different that you can't just simply go, we're a blue blood. We've got the name on the front of the jersey. We'll attract whatever coach we want. That coach at Baylor. Said no thank you to Louisville and Kentucky. Like, Jerome Tang was like, Louisville, no, I'm okay.
Yeah, Gillespie, right. Obviously, Calipari was longer than five years. Gillespie was shorter than Tubby, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, more than five. Eddie was going to get more than five. And
but,
then
things happened. It was an Emory envelope and some things fell
Jody
out.
Jody Hall
of it,
longer.
So, yeah.
Gillespie's been the only one back to, like, before Rupp,
but
it was less than five.
But also, like, this
so
job...
I'll go longer, just to be...
Well, this job, like, can also sort of lift you up into being a better coach, but it is... It's such a difficult spot that it's like... Like, Bill Self yesterday talked about it and said, well, I'm happy for John Calipari. He's like, look, 21 years in college basketball is not the norm. You know, he's talking about himself. He's like, 15 years there, that's a 10-year job. That's what Bill Self said yesterday.
He said it, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, that's a 10-year job at Kentucky. So I'm happy for John Calipari. Hopefully, you know, go there. He's like, I hope he's successful outside of any time we play him. You know, but he's like, that's a 10-year job, and he did it for 15 years. So that's not an easy place to go and coach. Even the coach at Kansas going, that's a beast to go coach there.
It's
no,
a
thank
different
you.
Deal, man. We cover the tournament every year, and we always joke it's the KU media contingent because you have Kansas City. You have Topeka, you have Wichita, even like some St. Joe, and everybody from TV to radio to print to blogs, everybody. And so there's just this horde of people that follow around Bill Self and the Jayhawks tournament. It meets its match whenever Kentucky is at a site, and it is pretty impressive what goes on there, and that of course translates into Big Blue Nation and to pressure and to the more fans there are, the more crazy fans there are, the higher percentage and all that. And I think we heard a lot of those there on the Reddit.
The deal is supposedly for 5 years. So you're right there on line with the over-under of the current conflict.
I bet it gets paid for at least 5 years.
No, sure. But
Jimmy Sexton, I'm sure, is his agent because he's everybody's agent.
Yeah, that's right.
Going back to just Mark Pope and Scott Drew, we're talking about the Kentucky fans, as again, you're going to the message boards right there. How much of that do you think plays a part in someone saying no?
I think it played a part in Scott Drew's family saying no. Like, honestly, I think that's like Scott Drew's family said no more than Scott Drew said no.
Yeah.
And you know, Dan Hurley talked about, like, am I going to take the Kentucky job? You got to ask my wife that first.
Chip Gaines said no more than Scott Drew said no.
Scott Drew's wife showed up and said, there's no shiplap anywhere.
There's no shiplap.
What the hell are we doing?
Where
I see barns. I see barns, but nobody's using that reclaimed wood to build other houses with. What are we even doing here? Okay. But I think that's part of it. And by the way, I think the winner of Twitter yesterday, because the news about, you know, Scott Drew's family and Scott Drew's wife being like, no, we're not coming here. Somebody tweeted out and said, I hope one of Mark Pope's wives said no. Was just the winner of Twitter yesterday.
That is good.
But also, it's like, you know, when do you know a coach is getting ready to take off and be amazing? Because if you would have hired Dan Hurley before the 2022-2023 season, the guy had two tournament wins in his career at Rhode Island and UConn.
Same kind of thing.
Had zero at UConn in the previous 4 years. Well, three, because the 2020 tournament was canceled. So 3 years, no wins. And now he's won 12 in a row. Like, when do you know the coach is getting ready to be like, oh, my God, Dan Hurley, it's the best coach in America. You didn't get him? What are you doing? you must be terrible.
It's impossible to know, right. Basically, because it's a game and the ball bounces weird and everybody else has really good players too. You never know how it's going to go, and it's tilted in the favor of UConn the last couple of years.
Tony Bennett was you can never win with that style, and he lost in the first round in a laughing stock. Then he won a national championship the next year.
He has one sense, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. But he does have that ring. Matt Painter, always going to fail in the tournament. I mean, his team wins the national championship in a number of years.
A lot of years.
Except for this year when they went up against UConn and he made a Final Four. Like, you know, it's Jay Wright would lose in the second round or like, oh, he won the national championship. Oh, look, they're around a 32 exit.
Yeah,
you know?
The history is filled of coaches who just can't win the big one. It's in their DNA. It's just something, you know, see that thing he does?
Bill Self's never going to get to a Final Four. Bill Self can't get past the Elite Eight. He's never going to get to a Final Four.
Andy Reid couldn't. Yeah. Tom Osborne couldn't until he did like three times.
Yeah, you know?
Andy Reid couldn't until he did three
until
times.
Until you realize that Donovan McNabb he got the best out of him, then you actually get the elite quarterback. A lot of times it comes down to the players.
We want to always judge the
head coach on what are they doing wrong. Well, they might not have the guys. I guess Dan Marino's the interesting one
You had the guy
in the position.
Yeah. Well, there's winner and loser every game, right? Somebody's gonna lose every game, and doesn't mean that they're a really bad team. Just means the team they played was a little bit better.
But it also gives you more of a chance of sustainability if you find that guy.
Yeah,
Baylor's not open. Jerome Tang's staying, and if K-State's found the guy, if he said I'm not really interested in Louisville and I'm turning down Arkansas, and Scott Drew's probably a lifer at Baylor, where's Jerome Tang leaving Kansas State to go?
Yeah,
so you get a guy in today's climate where there's a lot of money, and there's going to be even more money with the college football playoff starting, and now there's going to be more money shoveled in to college athletics that you can pay the coach. You get the right guy, you can keep him, which gives you a chance of being successful and more consistent.
It's funny how like a lot of years in the past, a Kentucky job opening is going to wrap around the house, right?
Yeah.
Here it's like there's going to be a couple of them, right? In a lot of years, it's okay. He goes to Arkansas. Now it's Baylor coach going to Kentucky. K-State coach going to Baylor. K-State goes and maybe grabs Pope, right? Well, you took out those two or three middlemen, right? And so you just have a couple dominoes here. Now, obviously, BYU is going to get a coach, and so there's going to be a vacancy and everything. But it ain't going to be mainstream, right? It's not going to be. It's going to be mid-major, most of all those dominoes. So it's very odd that this didn't cause this just havoc in college basketball.
Wasn't it Rob Lanier at SMU that got fired? Like that's what started this whole thing? Because then Andy Enfield took the SMU job.
Right, yes.
And then Eric Musselman took the USC. If SMU was like, you know what, we're going to the ACC next year, I think Lanier's our guy.
It's funny how Kentucky was the middle of the dominoes, right?
Everybody's still in their
two
same
moves
spots.
Had to happen.
Musselman's at Arkansas. Cal's still at Kentucky. They're bitching about they should fire him, and I wish we could fire him, and not knowing there's an alternate universe where they hire Mark Pope and people go, I miss Cal already. Why did Cal leave us?
It's the New York earthquake. That's what Kentucky's. Everyone wants to claim that it's this big ripple. Then you're like, oh, it's just I kind of moved a little bit.
The pictures of the trash can that fell over.
Yeah,
it's like we vow to rebuild.
We will rebuild.
That's right. We will rebuild. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. Continue more zone next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41 Sports Director, hanging out with us, presented by Empower Payments. EmpowerPayments.com, boosting your business and charity with every transaction. Learn more at EmpowerPayments.com. You know, ESPN's got the coverage of the Masters, and I know it doesn't start till 3 o'clock because if you aren't online, the Masters does not want you watching their tournament, which is odd. But while the coverage is going on, like they keep interviewing like football players. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick was on there an hour ago, and now they're talking with Will Levis.
Oh, nice!
It's like here's Will Levis, the second round pick for the Tennessee Titans here in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah,
let's talk. They should ask him about L'Jarius Sneed. Like, I don't know. Like it's just random. Like you're tuning in to watch the Masters. Like hell yeah, let's hear from Will Levis.
Sure.
I guess.
Makes sense.
Right. So is Shoffley out there? Is what about Scheffler? Is it in? No, Will Levis? Okay.
They do have a great app. I will grant them this.
They got a great app.
Well, you can watch it on your laptop. Just go to masters.com, which I've been rocking.
They paying you?
Huh?
They paying you?
No, but it's a great app. They have...
What, you got the aim and corner, right, and then you got the feature groups you mm-hmm. can watch.
You get holes 4, 5, and 6, yeah. Featured groups, plus aim and corner, holes 15, 16. You have the broadcast, you have the Masters on the yeah. range. You can actually choose your own group to watch.
Choose your own adventure?
Like I wanna, yeah.
I want to choose my adventure of Tiger at hole 7.
You know what I want? I want a strictly on-the-ground camera at all these holes the whole time, right? So you watch big football games, they'll give you the all 22 or different things. That's what I want. I want on-the-ground camera. I don't need it in the air because it does it kind of an injustice just to see it from above. You have no idea until, occasionally they'll take that shot of a guy chipping up like, oh, my God, he can't even see the pin. Yeah. That's two stories high, that green. You have no yeah. idea just the undulation and the height changes and the slopes of these golf courses until you get that down low look.
Yeah, I went in 2009, and that's such a good point. Just the undulations of the green around the green. You will never have a flat lie at Augusta. It's insane. And that's why when, who was it? It was Brooks Koepka, I believe, yesterday, was asked, is it possible for anyone to shoot a 59? And his yep. response was, have you ever played Augusta?
The guy goes, not yet.
Not yet.
Oh. And then he goes, well, that answers your question. answer to your question.
But I like the optimism of not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, not yet. I'll get there eventually.
He said, the quote is, I can tell you haven't by your question.
By your question. Yeah, that's it. What is it? 64? What's the record there?
63, 64. 62? Yeah, 64. They said 65's yeah. happened many times with only four total as
was
you know,
Roy,
the history
Roy
of the Masters
have
gotten to 64.
So somebody asked, do you think somebody could be five shots better than the record?
Right. Yes.
Well, a lot of guys get humbled because
we're playing a dome.
We play in a dome.
That level of question. Right
That's
there.
A great response.
It was the same lady who asked the question.
We no. play in a, you know, they got a
we
dome.
Play in a dome.
We're playing was a dome. Bryson a few years ago and said, oh, it's a par 67 for me. And then, because the par fives, and then yeah. he was saying he could drive one of the par fours and one. He got humbled quick.
Oh, yeah.
This year he bounced back. You have to humble yourself.
I don't think he gets humbled.
The amateur who was crushing it and then was like, oh, this is just another course. What's so hard about it? And then all of a sudden, the weekend rolls around and yeah. he just gets shelled.
We're gonna put the pins here. And this is what the wind's doing today.
Yeah, the pin is actually on the second floor yeah. over there. No, the yeah. second floor of that building. That's actually the pin you have to get it into. So you got to go through that window. It is closed, so somebody's going to have to break it before you. But you'll be fine. The morning group's got
it's
you.
In Butler Cabin. It's actually, you have to win the Masters, then you can take your shot.
Yes, that's right. Did you see the reporting now that's coming out for Shohei Ohtani and the interpreter? So
the cover-up that's coming out now?
Yes. So here's about the – just the – essentially the – not wanting to know or ignorance is bliss approach by people around. So when all hell broke loose over in Korea, this is from the story, Craig Calcaterra, it became known that wire transfers from Ohtani's account went to the bookie. Mizuhara told Ohtani's agent and all the other advisors that Ohtani had loaned him the money to pay his debts. This would explain why they felt it was okay to put Mizuhara in front of ESPN reporters. They felt the story was absolved and that absolved Ohtani. It was still dumb, but that's why they did it. Only later, back at the hotel, did Mizuhara tell Ohtani what he had been saying and what the truth was. So he told him what he was actually saying in English, what the truth was.
Translator.
The stolen money was news to Ohtani. Never occurred to Ohtani's people that an interpreter could be a bad actor. The IRS agent spoke to Ohtani's agent, Nez Bolello of CAA. Bolello told him CAA didn't have any Japanese speakers on staff. They simply relied on Mizuhara's account of what Shohei Ohtani was saying and relied on Mizuhara to tell Shohei Ohtani what the agency was wanting him to do. Once Bolello asked Mizuhara about the salary account, Mizuhara told him that Ohtani considered the account private, didn't want Bolello and the agency to look at it. Bilello accepted that as the answer. A bookkeeper, financial advisor, and an accountant on CA staff.
So his agents and everything, their manager, they're all American.
They had no idea he had this secret account. Okay, Ohtani didn't know about the account.
Right.
His agents didn't know about the account. His bookkeeper, financial advisor, and an accountant that did his taxes for CAA staff, they handled Ohtani's taxes. They were more concerned and asked for access to the salary account in the event the account accrued interest or was used to give taxable gifts so it could be incorporated into Ohtani's overall portfolio. Bilello told them not to worry about it, citing Muzohara's "it's a private account" excuse. So the taxes didn't even include his account that had millions and millions and millions of dollars in it that only Muzohara had access to. Not only that, the complaint alleges he placed 19,000 bets between December 2021 and January 2024, 25 bets per day.
Holy heck.
He
all
won.
On baseball?
He won.
Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Too late. He won $142.3 million.
Well, how much did he
bet? He lost $182 million. A total net loss of $40.7 million.
In how many bets?
Dollars in about 19,000 bets. The investigators...
We love hearing bad beat stories, man. Yeah. We love that.
The investigator says of all of the thousands of bets, there was no record of any bets being placed on baseball. But 25 bets per day for 3 years. 25 bets. He won $142.3 million. $142.3 million. That's amazing. He won the lottery. He lost $182. He's a bad bettor, I think. I think he should probably not bet.
Yeah, no, you
but
what account 25 was he
bets,
using?
I wouldn't call that winning.
He was using account in Ohtani's name.
No, like
that's
what,
the account
what
he was
bookie?
Using.
Like, who's like, wow, this is a lot of money being siphoned through here.
I mean, this is all a very convenient story. It's all a convenient story.
It's a bookie in Korea when all hell was breaking loose. An account that apparently his tax people and his agency
I thought there were
didn't
best
know
on,
existed.
Bets on baseball.
The news that's now coming out now with the full story of all of the information coming out of what he's being charged with and all of the counts of fraud and wire fraud and the things that he stole from Ohtani, all of that investigation has found that there were no bets that were placed on baseball.
Well, that really helps.
The nearly 19,000 bets that he placed over a three-year span.
Well, I'll go ahead and say it. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think so, too.
I'll be bold
like,
enough
whatever.
To be the one to say that.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's perfectly fine. Should we take phone calls on that?
We should.
Let's find out if we should.
So out of 19,000 bets, not one single one was
on what they found out.
The
he didn't.
Baseball.
He's the interpreter's not stupid.
Right, yeah.
He's not dumb.
He's like, I may get in trouble, but I'm not going to get that much trouble.
Not going to place a bet on baseball.
So he lost $40 million.
He lost $40.7 million.
Do we know how much was in the account originally?
No, but it was part of his salary. It's like some of his salary was siphoned into that account from Shohei Ohtani.
So on average, he lost $2,100 per bet. 19,000 bets to lose $40 million. On average, he lost $2,100 per bet.
I'm still mad about that $5 that Cole Reagans didn't get me on that over $5.5K's.
That's why you don't go chasing losses. Because
I've always said,
very costly.
Double up, catch up, baby. Mm. You know, you lose $182 million. How do you get that back? Bet more than that, but don't get caught.
You have always said that. That's one thing Jason has always said.
only bet what you're willing to win.
And were these all bookies? Were these all through accounts in the States?
In Korea.
In Korea, they have
all in Korea.
Sports betting and all that.
Yeah,
okay.
All in Korea. So everything was going crazy in Korea with all this investigation that was going on with this bookie and found out that all of this money tied to... So it might actually be that Shohei Ohtani didn't do that. Or he's just also paid for this guy's family to be taken care of.
The biggest deal is if all those bets, there's no MLB bets, that's really, really good news for him.
Why would Shohei Ohtani... That's my. I guess also you can say the same thing with Pete Rose, but why would Shohei Ohtani be betting on games when you have this much money already?
There's a lot of guys that do it with that much money.
Maybe I just don't understand that.
Phil Mickelson, yeah.
Yeah, but Phil's betting on...
You know what's better than money?
Yeah.
More money.
Money won is better than money earned.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
We'll take a time out, come back, wrap up the show next. All right, wrapping things up here on Sports Radio 810 WHB on this Friday edition. Mick Schaefer hanging out with us, presented by Empower Payments. Why settle for ordinary merchant services when you can give to charity with every transaction with Empower Payments? Visit empowerpayments.com. Royals head on the road. They start a set with the New York Metropolitans.
It's like a 5:30 start or something like that?
It's just after 6 o'clock tonight. And then Mets tomorrow, and then they got the White Sox for a few games, and
then they return home to face off against the O's.
I mean, come on. You lose tonight, everything comes crashing down.
These O's ain't Royals. These Stros ain't Royals.
Yes. Yeah, and these Mets ain't good enough to win more than a game.
It's going to be just like the World Series.
Right.
Except.
Can't wait to see Hosmer.
Except they're not even going to win a game this time.
That's right. It's a sweep. It's a sweep. Gordon's going to hit a home run in game number one tonight.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yep.
We'll have an inside the Parker, too.
Uris Familia, don't even put him out there. Don't even put him out there. If I were the Mets tonight, I wouldn't have Familia even on the team.
No. I would have strangers, not my Familia.